How could Jesus be God and not know everything? Stay tuned. Renewing Your Mind, Weekend Edition with Dr. R.C. Sproul is next. Welcome to this weekend edition of Renewing Your Mind with author and teacher Dr. R.C. Sproul. Dr. Sproul is also the senior minister of preaching and teaching at St. Andrew's, a Reformed congregation in Sanford, Florida. When Jesus was only 12 years old, he amazed the teachers of Israel with his understanding of the Scriptures. Later, during his earthly ministry, he revealed knowledge that only God could know. But there was at least one time when his disciples asked him when he would return. Jesus told them that he didn't know, but only his Father. How do we make sense out of that statement in light of Jesus' divine nature? Today on Renewing Your Mind, Weekend Edition, Dr. Sproul will discuss the mysterious union of the two natures of Christ and how he was able to infallibly teach God's Word. Let's join Dr. Sproul with today's lesson, Christ the Scholar.
This morning we will be reading again from the Gospel according to St. John, from the 7th chapter, beginning at verse 14, reading through verse 30. Hear then the Word of God. Now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, "How does this man know letters, having never studied?" Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. And if anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you keeps the law? Why do you seek to kill me?" The people answered and said, "You have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you?" Jesus answered and said to them, "I did one work, and you all marvel. Moses therefore gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the Father, and you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry with me, because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." Now some of them from Jerusalem said, "Is not he whom they seek to kill? But look, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is truly the Christ? However, we know where this man is from. But when the Christ comes, no one knows where he is from." And then Jesus cried out as he taught in the temple, saying, "You both know me, and you know where I am from. I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know. But I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me. And therefore they sought to take him, but no one laid a hand on him, because his hour had not yet come. And many of the people believed in him and said, 'When the Christ comes, will he do more signs than these, which this man has done?'" He who has ears to hear the word of God, let them hear. You may be seated. When I was a child going to elementary school, my favorite grade was the third grade. A lot of that had to do with Mrs. McArdle, because she was the most fantastic teacher I had in those days. But third grade was fun. But there was this little cloud of fear that hung over us when we were in third grade, when we would hear the testimony from the fourth graders, because they would say to us, "Just wait until fourth grade. In fourth grade, school really gets hard, because in fourth grade, you're going to have to learn to study geography and history and much more difficult multiplication tables. So I remember trembling as I entered into the fourth grade, but probably the biggest adjustment academically in my life was when I enrolled in doctoral studies in the Netherlands. I had no idea how rigorous the academic discipline at that level would be. And I believe only people who have been through that rigorous experience know what it is I'm talking about. But as I finished that, I also realized that there were many of us who had been educated well beyond our intelligence. That is a problem with upper levels of education, that once we go through it, we have a tendency to think that we actually know far more than we do. And we have a tendency to tilt the nose a bit and look down it at those who have not gone through such rigorous training. And we wonder where people's degrees are from and whether their credentials are really credible. Well, we're not unusual in that regard, because no man's credentials were ever more seriously challenged by the established academic community than were the credentials of Jesus of Nazareth. We read in the text this morning about this response from the people as he was teaching during the Feast of the Tabernacles, and the people marveled, saying, "How does this man know letters, having never studied?" And again, the Pharisees and the scribes, the doctors of the law, who had studied under Gamaliel or in the school of Hillel or of other rabbinic traditions, looked askance at Jesus, asking for where his sheepskin could be found. "Who did you study under, Mr. Jesus? How many credit hours in theology do you have? As far as we know, you don't even have a baccalaureate degree. And how do you then come into the temple and have the audacity to presume to teach us?" This was the question brought to Jesus. This was the same Jesus who, when he was a boy, was a child prodigy, who absolutely amazed the scholars in the temple when he was only 12 years old, at his depth of understanding of the things of theology. So the question is, where did he get his education? Well, he answers that question for us. He said, "My doctrine is not mine." That is, it's not of my invention. It's not of my origin. "But my doctrine is his who sent me. And if anyone wants to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and there is no unrighteousness in it." Now, I think there's a lot of confusion about this, because if we were to have a pop quiz this morning and I asked you, where did Jesus get all this knowledge that he was displaying? I suspect that many of you would give the answer that's prevalent out there. Well, he's God. And if he's God, then he must have all knowledge. He must be omniscient. And certainly one who is omniscient has no need to go to school or study under anybody else, because he is the source and fountain of all truth. Well, let me ask another question. Did the Jesus who was lying in the manger during the Nativity know that the world was round? What do you think?
Frankly, if somebody asked me that question, did Jesus know that the world was round when he was a baby in the manger? Of course, I'd want to make some distinctions, but I would say basically the answer would be no, of course not. At least touching his human nature. The human Jesus had to grow in his knowledge and understanding of the things of God. The human nature of Jesus did not come equipped with the divine attribute of omniscience. And when we think that the human nature of Christ possessed these divine characters, we slip into a very serious and ancient heresy by which the divine nature swallows up the human nature and we fail to recognize the limits of Jesus' knowledge. Now, this has been a very controversial matter historically. You think, for example, when the disciples asked Jesus, as it's recorded in Mark's gospel, about the day and the hour of his return, what does he say? He said, of the day and the hour knows no man, not even the Son, but only the Father knows it. Now, in that response to his disciples, Jesus himself clearly put a limit to his own knowledge about the future. Now, that has really puzzled the greatest minds of church history. St. Thomas Aquinas, for example, who arguably was the most brilliant theologian of all time, stumbled all over the place over that question. Thomas scratched his head and said, Jesus had to know the day and the hour. He was God incarnate. There was a perfect unity between the human nature and the divine nature. So how is it possible that Jesus didn't know something? So Aquinas developed what he called his accommodation theory, where he said Jesus really did know. But the knowledge was too holy. It was too high. It was too wonderful. And so he didn't want to go into a lengthy explanation as to why he couldn't reveal the day and the hour at that point. But he cuts the Gordian knot, gives shorthand by accommodation, and just simply tells them, he doesn't know. It's a nice way out, except that what he said would be false. It would be a lie, maybe a little one, just a fib, but just enough to tarnish his perfection and make him a lamb with a blemish and incapable of being our Savior. So I would prefer not to go into all these gymnastics to explain why Jesus said there was something he didn't know, and simply take our Lord at his word and believe that there was something he didn't know. Now, obviously, when Jesus says there's something he doesn't know, he's speaking of his human nature. Now, lest anybody think for a minute that the preacher this morning is a Nestorian, whatever that is, especially my Lutheran friends who are here, let me take a moment to explain this. In church history, the church has fully embraced the dual nature of Christ, that he is vera homo, vera Deus, truly man and truly God. One person, two natures. And the reason for that formula was that we not obscure that at the same time, we do have two distinct natures coexisting within this one person. And if we're going to have a correct understanding of Jesus, we have to understand that the divine nature has all of the attributes of deity, and the human nature, all of the limitations of humanity. Now, again, we distinguish the two natures, but we don't separate them. When Jesus is hungry, that's a manifestation of his human nature, not of his divine nature. When he sweats, that's a manifestation of his human nature, not of his divine nature.
And likewise, when he says, there's something I don't know, that is a manifestation of his human nature, not his divine nature. And he said, well, wait a minute, preacher. How's come it is that throughout the Bible, and even in John's Gospel, as we've been reading, we see Jesus manifesting supernatural knowledge all over the place. Way back at the beginning of his public ministry, when he sees Nathanael, he tells Nathanael everything about Nathanael, and he never even met Nathanael. He reads people's minds. He knows what they're going to say before they say it. And he gives all of these evidences of supernatural knowledge. Where does that come from? It comes from the communication of the divine nature to the human nature. Now, there were things that Jesus didn't know, but whatever he taught was impeccable, because he never taught on the basis of his own human insight. So the Christian church has understood for centuries that touching his human nature, Jesus is not omniscient, but he is infallible. Because if he comes and he teaches something that isn't true, then he's held accountable. Let me give an example of that. The biggest argument for the integrity of sacred scripture is this argument that the Bible is the word of God quite simply because Jesus says it was. And the critics will say, well, wait a minute, he wasn't omniscient. So it's okay if he made a mistake when he taught his disciples that the Bible was the word of God and that Moses wrote of him in the Pentateuch and all of that. We can't hold him responsible for knowing things he couldn't possibly know. Oh, yes, we can. Because if a teacher walks into your classroom and says, before class begins, let's get a couple of things straight. First of all, I'm not going to say anything in here by my own authority. Because everything that I teach you comes from God Himself. Now, if I said that to you and then you found me making an error, what would you think about my claim of teaching only what God gives me? Not only that, suppose I came into this pulpit and I said, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, when you listen to me preach, I want you to be aware that what you will hear is the plain, unadulterated, unvarnished truth, because I am the truth. If you didn't call for the little guys with the white suits and the net, then there's something wrong with you. Because we're warned in Scripture that those who teach face a greater judgment, and that judgment is that those who teach are never to claim more knowledge than they actually have. Now, in his human nature, Jesus does not have omniscience. But when Jesus declares that the Scriptures are the Word of God, if he's wrong about that, he has transgressed his own principles for teaching and thereby would disqualify himself as our Savior. And this is what's going on here in this debate with the Jewish authorities. Where'd you get your degree? Brought it with me from heaven. I don't teach anything on my own. But my doctrine comes from the Father. And if you people really wanted the truth, and if you people really wanted knowledge, and if you people really cared about theology, you would believe every word that I tell you, because the only words I give you are from Him. And if you wanted to do the will of God, you would hear my voice and you would listen to me. You remember one of the times when God spoke audibly to the crowds about His Son? This is my beloved Son, hear Him. God Himself attests to the authority of the teaching of Jesus that His doctrine is true. And as he claims here, there is no mixture of unrighteousness in it. And then Jesus turns the table on his enemies. You go around here, you question my credentials, and you hide behind the law of Moses. You keep telling me that you are disciples of Moses and that you're students of the law. Well, where did circumcision come from? It didn't come from Moses. It came from the patriarchs before Moses. It came from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Moses didn't invent circumcision. Now, why does he bring this up? He says, because under the law of Moses, the law requires that every infant boy is to be circumcised exactly so many days after birth. Right? Well, what if the day of circumcision falls on the Sabbath? Does Moses require that you postpone it? Oh, no. Not only does the law of Moses allow circumcision on the Sabbath day, the law of Moses requires circumcision on the Sabbath day. Now, if the law of Moses requires that the sign of a person's wellness be given on the Sabbath day, how can you object when I heal a man completely on the Sabbath day? This is classic ad hominem argumentation, not in the abusive sense, but in the logical sense, where Jesus takes the foolishness of his critics to its logical conclusion and shows that he's not the one that's violating Moses, but that they are. And in so doing, exposes that despite their great knowledge and their academic credentials, they have remained fools and ignorant of the things of God.
You're listening to Renewing Your Mind, Weekend Edition, with R.C. Sproul, as he takes us through the Gospel of John. It's quite evident in today's world that people are operating under an entirely different ethical standard than that which God has given. As in the days of the judges, everyone is doing what is right in his own eyes. How should we as Christians navigate through the ever-present ethical problems that we face every day? Today, we're offering a 15-part CD series by Dr. Sproul called Christian Ethics for a donation of any amount. To take advantage of this offer, give us a call using our toll-free number, 1-800-435-4343. Again, that's 800-435-4343. In the Christian Ethics series, Dr. Sproul demonstrates that God's Word provides clear teaching and lays foundational ethical principles for the Christian life as they pertain to war, capital punishment, the sanctity of life, labor, truth, and marriage. Again, the Christian Ethics series is available for a gift to the ministry for any amount. This is the last day for this offer, so call today using our toll-free number, and one of our resource consultants will be able to help you. The number is 1-800-435-4343. Again, that's 800-435-4343. Or you can go online to rymoffer.com. That's RYM as in renewing your mind. In the word offer.com. That web address is for this week's special offer only. Today's message is from a long series of sermons that were delivered from the pulpit at St. Andrews. Those sermons have since been published as the second volume in the St. Andrews Expositional Commentary series, simply entitled John. In this volume, Dr. Sproul deals with major themes in his easily understandable style. Readers will find invaluable insights into the goals John had in writing his gospel, the background for Jesus' time, and the meanings of some of John's most difficult passages. The John Commentary is available for $21.60 plus shipping. To order your copy of Dr. Sproul's commentary on John's gospel, call one of our resource consultants using our toll-free number, 1-800-435-435. 800-435-4343. Again, that's 800-435-4343. Or you can order online at ligonier.org. Ligonier is spelled LIGONIER.ORG. That'll bring a close to this weekend edition of Renewing Your Mind. Thanks for being with us. And join us again next weekend as Dr. Sproul continues to take us through the Gospel of John. Until then, you can keep up with us at our Facebook page at facebook.com/Ligonier. Ligonier is spelled LIGONIER. Again, that's facebook.com/Ligonier. You're listening to Renewing Your Mind, Weekend Edition, the listener-supported radio outreach of Ligonier Ministries in Orlando, Florida.